The Trump administration's efforts to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program will have to wait a little longer for its day in court. Yesterday, the Supreme Court declined a request by the Department of Justice to consider whether it would take up the case by the end of the month. The program gives legal status to many Dreamers, those who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. This order does not close off the possibility that the Supreme Court will take up one of the cases regarding DACA next session, though, and it's just the latest in an ongoing back and forth over the program since the Trump administration announced it would phase it out in 2017. So where does this leave the roughly 800,000 DACA recipients in the country? For more on that, I sat down with Jose Patino, a DACA recipient and the advocacy and policy director for immigrant rights group Aliento. We began our conversation with his story. Patino was brought here with his family when he was just 6 years old, and he says he always knew he was undocumented.
It was my uncle's family and our family living in a two-bedroom apartment, and it was the six of us in just one room, and they wouldn't allow us to go outside without parents or an adult. So I always knew that I was undocumented because there was something like, watch out for the migra or immigration. So I always knew, but up until I got into sort of high school, I didn't understand the limitations because we could drive, you could work. But once I started to see like, hey, you needed to apply for college, and then they started to ask for the social security number, that's when it really hit me.
Right.
And when I started getting, I got pulled over, and I was like, that's when it really hit me, like, whoa, I'm undocumented.
So I wonder, when did you get involved in sort of advocacy around this issue? Did it take you having some of those experiences and realizing the limitations placed on you because of this?
Well, I got involved after Prop 300 passed 2006, which is the proposition that denies in-state tuition and access to scholarships for undocumented students. I was a senior in high school. I had applied for ASU, got a full ride, provost scholarship, and my mom was really proud that I was going to be the first one in the family. I'm the youngest of four to go to a university. So then they sent me a letter, hey, like, you're not eligible. And several of our classmates, I got the same letter. So then that's when we started to find out about the DREAM Act, getting more involved in outside organizations, and also marching, participating in protests and rallies and anything that we could do. Because at that time, we're just thinking of pursuing our education just because it became sort of a dream of not only me, but also my family, where I basically represented the culmination of their sacrifices. Mm-hmm. I was just determined to get there. And that's how I got involved.
So you've been doing this work for quite some time then. And it's, I would imagine, frustrating at times. So you see the Trump administration rescind DACA. You see the courts put an injunction on that decision. Now it's headed to the Supreme Court at some point. What's it been like, this sort of extended limbo, I guess, that you're in as a DACA recipient in this country?
It's high levels of anxiety and stress. I try to block it out as much as I can in terms of like try to live my daily life and the work that I do with the organization that I work with Aliento. But it's always on the news. So it's hard to plan your life, like to your plan, because that always exists that, hey, this is going to end. So it's really nerve-wracking. I was just actually thinking about it when I was driving mm-hmm. here, and I was like, what happens with my car? What happens with my house? What happens with my employment if ultimately gets rescinded? And in my belief, I think that ultimately the Supreme Court is going to rescind and end the DACA program. They're going to side with the Trump administration. And it's going to leave us with a year or so between the next election. So I think that's our moment for us to sort of engage more politically and change the narrative so we can get a permanent solution. I've been trying to get a permanent solution since I was in high school.
So you do think the Supreme Court's going to end DACA?
Yeah, I just have this feeling that how it's stacked and the arguments they're making, they're going to end it on the basis that the president has the power to end the program, similar to how President Obama had the power and the justification to start it. Not the way that they're sort of saying that it was unlawful or constitutional, but then they're going to make the argument that the president ended it because he had the power.
But it sounds like you see that as an opportunity to push for a permanent solution, like you say. So would that look something like the DREAM Act?
Yeah, that is the hope, to get something like the DREAM Act. However, in the past, I have seen that if we don't push and organize to galvanize together, we will ultimately end up with nothing. I saw that in 2010, I got involved with the DREAM Act. I saw that also with the immigration reform in 2013, and most recently in 2018, when DACA was originally rescinded. So I'm hopeful that we can galvanize and get together, but I'm also understanding and cognizant of the past, how things have ultimately failed.
Mm-hmm. What's the mood of the community in general? You work with undocumented people, you work with mixed status families. When you talk to people like you who are DACA recipients or dreamers, and this continues to go back and forth, and you get a piece of good news and then you get a piece of bad news, I mean, how does the community in general deal with that?
Well, there's sort of like three levels. The undocumented population feels forgotten. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the students that we work with are undocumented because the DACA program ended before they could apply.
Yeah.
So they feel like they're being forgotten. Our DACA recipients are high-level anxieties. Is the dream going to pass? Oh, is it going to end? So there's always this sort of anxiety. What am I going to do? And the parents are just sort of in desperation mode. It's like, I don't care what happens to me so long as my children are taken care of. Tell me, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And then the children are like, no, so long as my parents are taken care of, I don't care what happens to me. So right. it's sort of like this, it's like a game and we're pawns in it, mm-hmm. and we have no control over it. And it's really frustrating because anything that you do, it feels like it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that said before by another DACA recipient, that you are always a pawn in the political game and whichever party wants to use you for their advancement at that moment will. But there's broad support for something like the DREAM Act in polls. It's pretty bipartisan, but it's failed to get through. I wonder, as you look at your advocacy work and as you look forward, what do you think you can do at this point?
Well, I think, and I've heard this from senators and also representatives, they always say that we're not enough, that we're not big enough, that the dreaming population, what we bring to the table, we're not big enough to merit it by itself, that we need to be attached to something else, either comprehensive immigration reform or to a budget, that by itself, the Dream Act will not pass because there's not enough to go around to satisfy all the other factions that exist in Congress. So the only way that I can think of is how do we actually galvanize and show up that power and build allies, because we need allies. We can't do it by ourselves. They always tell us, well, you can't vote. So regardless of whatever happens, we're not able to vote. And we cannot contribute financially to a lot of campaigns more than $20, because then that would be considered a foreign entity meddling. So it's always like we need to get our friends who are citizens and residents to come and stand with us. So then we're taken seriously by both parties. For the longest time, the Democratic Party didn't take it seriously. Right now, the Republican Party doesn't take it seriously. So for us, it's like we need to ultimately organize ourselves and get those allies who are going to help us.
Jose Patino is a DACA recipient and the Advocacy and Policy Director for Aliento. Jose, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Lauren.